Welcome to the Every Nation New York podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
It's good to have, this is a good sign, a fellowship like this. You guys know what fellowship is, right? It's fellows in a ship, and that's what it feels like right here, just tight in a ship here. Happy New Year to everyone. It's going to be a great year by God's grace, right? So I was asked to briefly mention, Pastor Bruce already did, but we're going to be, the church is going to be fasting and praying this week. That, you're welcome to join us. You're welcome not to join us, but it's something that we do every year, and we take about a week, and we just consecrate ourselves. I can't always figure out the miraculous connection with when I get hungry and pray, God begins to move and do things. I don't really understand that, but Jesus said sometimes, in some occasions, this kind only happens through prayer and fasting. And he didn't say if you ever fast, but he said when you fast, this is what it looks like. And fasting is a good thing, even physically, mentally, in every way, to, you know, cleanse and all that stuff too. There's a lot of benefits for prayer and fasting. I just had a doctor upstairs, and he said, now how long are you fasting, and are you going to be taking care of yourself? I said, look, if I die at the end of this, just tell everybody that fasting's no good, okay? So it'll be all right. But you're welcome to join us. It's tough to fast, you know? It's just, let's get real. So maybe if you're new to this, maybe you take a day, maybe the week, you want to just give up something that's you don't need to be doing anyway. Maybe you get off social media for a week. Can you live without it? I'm not so sure. Seriously, I had a family member, one of my kids, one of my daughter-in-laws, and she lost her phone, and it was almost like the equivalent of I've lost a baby or something like that. I've lost a child, has disappeared in Disney. It was like that level of like, and guess what? We're all somewhat guilty of that, right? So it's just become this, they call it, the new generation calls it phygital, physical and digital together. So it's such a part of our life. But anyway, you'll know how you need to fast and pray. For me, I let go of food for a week, and I'll drink juices or whatever. But whatever, like T-bone in a blender comes out. Looks like chocolate milk. I do have a friend that, Pastor Jim LaFoon, he'll drink that chocolate milk really heavily when he's fasting. But so we all tend to get a little grumpy while we fast and tired and all that. But then you get a breakthrough, and it's like it's glorious. You're just clean. It's just amazing. And so anyway, you're welcome to join us. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you for your grace and forgiveness of our sins. And thank you for the joy of the Lord that is our strength today, Lord, that you give us joy. And God, thank you for what you're going to do in this new season for this church. I believe that when we go together into this new space in the 21st, it will just be an explosion of grace and miracles will happen. And Lord, your provision will come. And we just thank you today as we get in your word that we look to you. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And I pray that your word would speak to us, redirect us, heal us, encourage us, build us up on the inside, or do whatever it takes to make us all that you want us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 12, verse 1 through 8. Now the Lord spoke to Abram. Now first off, that's encouraging. The Lord speaks. I mean, I just want to just acknowledge that's like, if the Lord did not speak, I would be in big trouble. We'd all be in big trouble. But he speaks, and this was before Scripture was recorded, so it was with his voice, direct. Now we have the written word of God, which is awesome, and not just an inspirational piece. This is the word of the Lord. And God speaks, and when he does, things begin to shift and change. And he said this to Abram, go forth from your country, your relatives, and your father's house. Now this is right after his father died. He spoke these words. He said, okay, Abram, now that you're miserable, now that you're going through pain, now that your father's no longer guiding you, and that culture, the father's voice, and even though he's 75 years old, he said, I want you to leave your KFC, your kindred family and country. I want you to get out of your KFC right now, right? And go to wherever. But Go to 16 Handles instead, if KFC, right? So, okay, that was free advertisement, bro. Just throwing that out for you. There was something about that. Now, when a lot of people think about Abraham, he's the father of faith. We think about him, we think about this great Jewish leader who was kosher and all that. And that was not, that's not who he was. He had to get out of something to go follow God to the purpose of God. And it said, I want to use, the rest of this verse says, to the land that I will show you. So there's a little bit of a mystery in following God. We really never know what's going to come. Right. Now, I am celebrating, you ready for this? I am celebrating my 40th birthday of being born again. My 40th birthday. 40 years of salvation. 40 years. I got saved when I was 2, so I'm 40. No, I'm 18. I was 18. And somebody gave me a Bible. I grew up in a Jewish family, and we didn't read the Bible. We didn't go to church. The only time we talked about Jesus is somebody stubbed their toe. The name Jesus and his full name, last name, Jesus Christ, would fly out of mouths. And so it's a really, I feel a real privilege to have come into, so that Bible that was given to me, I actually ended up carrying it off to college. And some of you heard this before. I feel there's somebody here that needs to hear this. So if you've heard this story before, don't say, Pastor, we've heard this story before. Just pretend I'm your father or grandfather. They just tell the same story every Sunday. Yeah, we've heard that one before. Yeah, I heard that one before. Yeah, you told me. Okay, so this lady gave me a Bible when I was 15. I put it in my closet. I didn't know what to do with the Bible. So I put it in my closet, but I carried it off to college because my mama said, you might need this up there. And I thought, well, it's like a free book for literature class or something. So I'll just take it. We might need this for something. When I got off to college, my roommate had yet to check in. He was late a week. And when that Bible kept staring at me, like the first 48 hours of being a freshman in college. Now, when I was freshman in college, I went there to ramp up my partying, not to get rid of it. I was going to ramp it up. And I started reading. I looked through the Bible, opened it up, and her nice note fell out. And it was I hadn't read it yet because I hadn't opened it. And it was a note from 3 years ago, and she began to just say, I want to encourage you. There's life in this book, blah, blah, blah. You can have a relationship with God. I mean, things that I'd never heard about. And then I saw a $5 bill in there. And I thought, man, this is awesome. I'm going to start looking around. I started wondering if there's a 20 back here or a 50 or something. And there wasn't. And then I started looking at the book titles. And one of the first, I was like right in the middle, was the book of Job. Otherwise known as Job. Right? Your husband. And so I thought, I don't need a job. I don't know what that's about. It's like one ad's in the Bible. I didn't, you know, Craigslist or what. I didn't know. So then I found a name I recognized. It was Mark. That was my brother's name. And I started reading the Gospel of Mark. And about a week later, I just became a believer. I had faith. God opened my heart. I had faith that Jesus Christ was the Lord, the Savior, the Messiah of my life, and I had just been missing out because I never knew him. So I started following God, and it's like right here, I'm going to take you to a land that you don't know anything about. And here I am in New York City. I knew nothing about you guys or church or anything, but here I am years later, and all the journeys in between, all the nations of sharing Jesus, the love of Jesus, all the people that I've met and had been privileged to meet. I mean, from visits to, you know, palaces to the White House to you name it. You just never know. But when all you need to know is that when God speaks, you obey. That's the main part of this. And he's speaking to all of us of how he wants us to go to the next level in following him. And he said, I'm going to show you this land. Verse 2, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you. And I will make your name great, so you're going to be a blessing also. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, this has happened through Abraham. This has actually 100% happened. He is the father of the Jews, the father of the Muslims, Islam, and the father of the Christians. And it's fascinating as I'll be going to Israel, my fifth tour that Lynette and I are leading. We're leaving in 2 weeks. It's fascinating when you get into Jerusalem and you look at the singular thread that we all have in common is we have Father Abraham, who had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So you can sing that. You can sing that on the Temple Mount and not be shy. Praise the Lord. It is our common thread. So, I won't be leading worship, so don't. No threat. No threat, Terry. No threat. Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And now, that's a different story. That's chapter 13. I don't have time to get into it. I wanted to, but I'm just trying to stay on course. He was 75 years old when he departed Haran. Abram took Sarah, his wife, Lot, all their possessions, their accumulation of things, and the people who were, they acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. That was the land that God had promised to Abram. And he passed through Shechem and the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and he said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And that's happened. It's miraculously happened over these 2,000. And this is going back into the Tanakh, the Torah. This is many thousands of years ago. This has already happened. And it's a remarkable story of the faithfulness and the covenant keeping of God. So when God says something, it may not happen on your timetable, but it will come to pass. And he proceeded then to build an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, Ai on the east, and there he built an altar and he called on the name of the Lord. Now, a lot of times at the beginning of the year, I'll go back to the beginnings, which is Genesis. Genesis is the first mention of many things that we know and love and believe. And so this is why I felt really drawn to come here today, is just talk about the beginnings of our journey and the expectation of God and the possibilities of God in our life. The first thing I want to talk about is this extraordinary calling of Abraham and Abram, this calling on his life. It's extraordinary. Not only a calling, but a sending. I want you to not just be called, but I want you to go somewhere. And it's amazing because in 12:1 it says that Abram went forth, he said to go forth. God said that. And then three verses later, he says that he went forth. And so I started thinking about that. Abram was told by God to go forth, and just two verses later, he went forth. And I like that. It's quick obedience. I like that. Like if this was my story, it'd be like God would say, go forth, and about five chapters later, I went forth. Or five books later. Or in the book of Revelation later. It's the last book of the Bible. He went forth. So the more you get to know God, you trust him, that he really will be there for you when you go forth. He will. Now, it's not always easy. I don't want to slip into this rosy theology, or as some people call the hyper-prosperity gospel. We don't want to go in that direction for sure. But we, at the same time, we want to exalt the faithfulness of God, that he will be faithful to you. You can trust him. He is a good and loving father. And look what it says he's going to do. He says, I'm going to bless you. Why? To be a blessing. I've met some Christians over the years who are blessed, but they've yet to take on the most important part, be a blessing. Mm-hmm. That's what we're supposed to do, to be a blessing in our lives. And that's why we're blessed. That's why sometimes we have a little bit more money than we thought we would have, is to be a blessing to someone in need, or to maybe we have an extra couch, or maybe we, you know, where someone can stay for a week. I mean, you know, there's so many practical, tangible ways to be a blessing. Like someone serves you a coffee and you click on the thing 10% just for pouring your cup of coffee. It was harder for me to get there than it was for them to do that. I mean, it's like, but you're doing that because you're just grateful. You just want to be a blessing. You want to give your life. There's nothing worse than any child of God to ever go into a restaurant. There's hardly anything worse. Then they lay down a track and they don't give a tip. I mean, who are you kidding? What planet are you living on? We're called to be salt and light and friends and not provocative. And so that's the thing that makes the children of light so different. It's through this blessing of Abraham we get blessed. Why? To become a blessing. And so one of the things that happened here, he got into this land and he discovered that it's not going to be all that he dreamed of. It was great. It was a beautiful land, a land that, as it said, it flows with milk and honey. One guy came to church here 1 year ago and he said, "Wow, this is the land that flows with milk and honeys," plural. "Look at all the pretty sisters out there." I said, "Well, brother, if you live right, maybe, just maybe, you could put a ring on it." Okay, so, but, you know, the reality is that he was met with opposition. The Canaanites were there. Now, these were, you begin to look through Scripture, there were these ites that were the opposition to the plan and purpose of God. The ites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Moabites, the Jezebites, the Mosquitobites, and the Budlites. So they're all there as opposing factors, and God wanted him to use his faith to not just to be there, but to possess it. Now, here's where a lot of times there is this rubber meets the road. A lot of times we're where God wants us to be. We're in the land that he wants us to be. We're in the city he wants us to be. We're in the marriage he wants us to be in, or the relationship he wants. We have to possess. That's another phase of our faith, to learn what it is, not just to be there, but to possess it. Not just to, like look around, but to how frustrating it must be, like when you're fasting, to be invited to a nice steak dinner at Smith and Walensky's, or, you know, or, "Hey, we're all going to Tony's, can you come?" And you go along to be with your friends, but you're just, it's so, there's a certain time when God says, enough of looking at the through the windows. It's time for you to possess. Now, I don't mean that just materially. I hope you understand. But how many of you, like me, have looked through a lot of windows and thought, "That looks nice in there. That would look good on my wife." Now, my wife will possess the land. She is a possessor. She just doesn't bypass the window. She goes right in. But she's amazing. She's a value shopper, too. All right, all that's on the side. Scratch that from the tape. It's irrelevant. I just try to break it down to, where do we really live? Where do we really, really live? And a lot of times we're there, but we're not possessing. We don't have joy in our marriage. We don't. I've looked at married couples. It looks like they've been married for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they're out to eat. You know how these New York restaurants are. You're having, and then here's the next table over, and so everybody's just hearing each other's conversation. And my wife and I will be engaging and talking, all that, and there's silence here. I'm like, how many years did it take to drift to that point? God wants us to have fruitfulness, impact, enjoyment, and pleasure. Amen. In our lives.
Amen. Amen.
He wants us. Amen. To enjoy. The beginning of the Westminster Shorter Catechism of Faith is, what is the chief end of man but to know God and enjoy him forever?
Amen.
That's worthy of teaching your kids, which is part of the purpose of the Shorter Catechism, is to teach kids by rote the things of God. And so here they were. They had the giants in the land and all that. They're going to have their struggle. But that gets us to the second point here, is what is the challenge? Not just the call, but the challenge of possessing. The challenge of possessing what God has for us, to really having it, enjoying it, to being fruitful. And part of what Abram had to get through, because it's one thing to be saved by grace, it's another thing to be living in the grace of God. It's another level. And it's not through duties, and it's not through a checkoff list. It's through, and I'm going to get to that in a second. But there are things that we can do. And when you look at this challenge right here, Abram most certainly had to overcome his guilt and shame and fear and frustration and condemnation. You know, I hate condemnation. I hate it. I hate what it does in my life. I hate what it does in my mind. And see, God does not want us to live distant from him. He wants us to come near. He said, "Draw near to me. Come near." He. One of the things about my little twin girls, they're four. They just turned four. But they represent this value that we should have towards God. They have no sense of when I'm working, when I'm busy, who I'm meeting with, what I'm doing, where I'm going, I could be dressed up in a suit and a tie to meet somebody very important. They don't care. They're going to run up, grab me, wipe their nose on my jacket, or what? They will do that. They will run up to me. They will jump in my bed. They don't ask permission. And the Word of God says to us to draw near to God, that God loves it when you violate that protocol, when you come boldly before the throne room of grace by faith. He loves it. He says, come into my lap. I've been waiting on you. He doesn't want us to set an appointment. I mean, although appointments are good, if you're structured, if you're a 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. person with God, great. I don't want to disrupt that. But you know what? God loves it when we just live in His presence and enjoy Him. And so the very next thing after getting out, being led out of that, what does Abram do? But he builds an altar to God. The first call was leave and obey. The second call is stay in my presence. Lay on the altar. Learn what it is to worship. Let me define you. I mean, being defined by God is one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me. I didn't have a great family growing up. As I said, first generation Christian. My father disappeared. My mother was a great mom. She did the best she could with what she had. But I pretty much raised myself. I mean, any of the latchkey kids here, you know, I had the key, I had the codes, I had the TV remote. When the remote came out, I remember what it is to have to turn it by your own hand to your three channels and adjust the rabbit ears. Now, you guys do not know that era, and we suffered so much. It's always funny when my brother would be up there, and he'd just be like that, and it's always his big booty would always just be like down there in his booty. I was, get out of the way, dude. Come on. Anyway, he's doing great today. My brother, by the way, just you want to hear the grace of God. He is a pastor in the Methodist Church in Copenhagen, Denmark. He was one of the first Americans to speak Danish in the pulpit, the gospel in Danish there. And my sister just became an ordained Methodist pastor. So what am I doing not being a Methodist? They call me the Brand X, all right? So they call me generic, all right? So I am gladly and honored to be called a non- and interdenominational pastor of the Christian gospel for the glory of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for my path. I'm so thankful that God led me in a different direction. It's all part of my call. It's all part of the journey that I'm on. And this being on the altar is really a critical moment in our lives to learn what it is to worship God, to commune with God, to enjoy God, to live in His presence. It's not, worship is not Sunday morning 11 to 12. That's part of it. But it's not defined by that. We over-define worship to that. Like, we call it the worship experience. When's the last time you've had a worship experience in your apartment? Or in your home? Wherever you live? When's the last time you really had an experience? I know some of you are worshipers. Some of you do this. I mean, some of you, it's like worshiping for the audience of one. Amen. And worship comes in so many different packages. You know, even culturally speaking, you know, some people come into church, they're high-fiving, they're loud, they're all excited. Other people in other cultures, they get quiet, they're in their chair, they're praying. It's just irreverent not to be that way. And I respect them all. There are some people that are really loud and they raise their hands, you know, and no one's asking a question, but their hands are up. And, you know, and some people do the helicopter chop, and some people are directing traffic. I mean, you have that, and some people are real quiet. They have their arms. You know, some people are conservative, you know, but every once in a while you see their finger go to the beat. You know, they got the finger going. That's it. You know, and I remember when I was in this service one time, I was a young Christian, and I looked around. I thought, this is weird, man. And then all of a sudden I felt something. It's like my hand was trying to go up, and I was pushing it down. Like, don't do that. Don't be one of them. Don't do that. Don't. Wait. Ho. You know? And then all of a sudden, I was just overcome. I looked around to make sure I didn't know anyone around. And then I just said, praise you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. I just, you know, that's the universal sign of surrender. So learning to worship God, learning what it is to get to know Him, let Him convict you. There are challenges that come when He's defining us, but He's changing us. Our theme of our church, our mission, our vision, what we talk about is transforming a city, but one life at a time. So we're not worried about all the big industry right yet, but we are watching our people get into the marketplace, and then they're not only there, but they're beginning to possess. I don't know if any of you guys saw Pastor Adam on one of the morning news, national news stories the other day. That's because one of our people was using his influence to possess. And our pastor was on in front of millions of people. And so, you know, this is the grace of God. You know, when you look in the space that you're in, it may take you a while before you learn what is the code to crack to bring God into. I know for my wife, Lynette, she worked downtown for many years. Her little thing that God led her to do is just put her Bible, leave it out on her desk or on her bookshelf. And when her clients and her teammates and the partners that she reported to would come in, occasionally that would be the door opener. Oh, I see you have a Bible. And then it would be a time to discuss. It could be a little thing like that. It could be the way that you treat people. I mean, it should be. It should be that we are that salt, we are that light. But that's what God changes us. Now, here's what he redefined for Abram. Abram's name in Hebrew, Abram, means exalted father. That's what that means. But God actually changed his name. God changes names. And he changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. And he became three things. He became the father of faith. Romans 4:16. That's his title. He's the father of faith. He became the father of many nations, as we've already mentioned. And he also is called the friend of God. Is there not, like compliments can be cheap, but then there's a compliment like that, where he's called, that is a great compliment. Wow. Now that's what came out of this following God and redefinition in his life. So how do we possess? How did he possess, and how do we possess? So the first thing he did, number one, is Abram walked out in obedience. He obeyed God. He just went forward in obedience to God, and he said yes. Now, we know that he was delayed in obedience to God in the first place in a place called Haran. The definition of Haran means to delay. And some people get stuck, and they get stuck. There was one guy that we ministered to here in Midtown for probably 5 years. He was trapped in sexual bondage. And he just couldn't break. And I would see him about once a month. And about every third time he was here, he would come up front and he'd cry on me and I'd hug him and all that. But he kept going back. He kept going back. He kept going back. You remember. And we have a lot of stories like this. And then all of a sudden, this guy makes it. He crosses over. Amen. And he's healed. And he's delivered. Amen. And then he's married. And then he has kids. And he's never going back. The altar does things in our life. It burns things out of us. When you're on an altar, something's changing. An altar alters. And that's what happens at the altar. Is you get changed. When you spend time with God, you get changed. And he doesn't make you a choir boy or an altar girl or whatever. You know, he doesn't make you religious. Holy does not mean living in a hole. I just want to tell you that. It doesn't mean you put on burlap sacks and all of a sudden you wear a big cross and then you got it. No. I mean, you can do that. But I'm just saying that those things, it's God's definition in your heart. Who are you? You're a son of God. I used to stand in front at when I was at UNC Chapel Hill, really getting to know God. I would stand in front of a mirror every morning in the common bathroom. I would go before in the morning to take a shower before anybody else, and so that I would have time to do this. I would look myself in the mirror in the eye, and I would tell myself what God's word says about who I am. About 10 minutes every morning, just about. My hardwiring, it's called neuroplasticity for the medical community, the science neurologists here. Your hardwiring changes. It's like I got so built up by myself. I built myself up that I was ready to go out on that campus and charge hell with a water pistol. I mean, I was just ready to go and be bold for God. It changed my life. And so when God called me, it was life-changing. And you have to come to the place where you'd rather God define you than any other human being, including yourself.
Amen.
Because we're too low. We don't define ourselves well enough for what God sees. Obedience. Number two is the worship or the communion part. And I'm watching a group of men fall together right now in the Conquer Bible study to pull together to completely overcome sexual addiction. I'm watching that. This church is a safe place to go through the messiness of becoming what God wants you to be. Because there's an in-between phase.
Yes.
There's an in-between phase. We've been potty training. We went through the potty train phase. And now we're in the nighttime only. But I don't know what it is. I don't know if your children are like this. I can't stand it when parents, my kids have been potty trained since they were 3 months. I'm like, you liar, you. My kids are speaking Mandarin, but I mean, awesome, awesome. I'm sure they are. Well, my kids, let me tell you about my girls. They're down to only having about 2 accidents a week. All right, so praise the Lord, you know. But there's messiness in the in-between phase. Now, you know they're going to overcome. You know that when they're 18, this, you know it's coming. But you don't know how it comes. You don't know how many accidents there are going to be. And I want to, brothers and sisters, I got to put it onto our hard drive. It does not help to be judgmental for people in the process. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. There are people going through stuff. There's a word for it, junk. There's a slang word. There's actually a Greek word, skubla, which means refuse, waste, stuff. Y'all dig the self-restraint? Do you like that? Come on now. I could have biblically gone there. I could have pointed to the Bible and said, God, your word says this. I'm not doing it. We want this to be a place. Now, the third thing is not just obedience and communing, but really having it, what I call a spirit of faith, because the Bible calls it a spirit of faith. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul said that we have the same spirit of faith as these pioneers like Abram. A spirit. There's a spirit. You know, you are a spirit. You know that. That's the real you. I mean, that's the real you. You're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. This is not the real me. When somebody came in here and shot me today, I'm still alive. I'm unchanged, except the body's gone. You are a spirit man. And God wants us to build ourselves up in that spirit, and we carry this spirit. And it says as we believed, the spirit of faith works through us in a way to where we, it says that we believe and then we speak. Now, I think a lot of people have faith, a lot of Christians I know have faith, but they don't know how to really exercise their faith and take it to the next level of speaking. Now, if you want to be like Abram, which the scripture says in Romans 4, follow, and in Acts 7, follow in the footsteps or in the faith of Abraham. If you want to do that, then your next move is to start calling out. That's what God did. He said, God says that over Abram's life, he called forth, and Abram, he called forth things that were not as though they are. You start to get in this faith that I'm going to get that job. I begin to see it. And then I begin to speak it. Now, you don't have to speak it like Joseph did when he was 17. He told all of his brothers, you're all going to, I saw the dream and vision, you're all going to bow down to me. Don't go there. He was the first internationally trafficked person, right? His brother said, we're sending you off. So he went off. So we don't want to get to the place where we're blabbing it. But it says that people in the scripture, like Mary, she pondered in her heart the things she heard. And she nurtured it. And when you're ready to speak it, let there be faith. When God spoke, in the first thing he did in the creation of the universe, he said, let there be light. And the Big Bang happened. And it's still expanding at accelerating rates in every direction and dimension of this universe. And yes, you can see that and observe that through the Hubble telescope of the redshift of the galaxies and the background microwave radiation that you can actually hear. It's absolutely amazing that God said, let there be light. Now, what was there before light? Darkness. What is there in our life before there's light? And what do we look at when we see it? Darkness, right? We look at it. Then what do we call it? darkness. Well, there's the next, the spirit of faith says, let there be light, and I'm going to have light. See, you can frame your world through your words when faith is working in your life. People have no idea. Things don't just happen. This building didn't just drop down out of heaven. We didn't win a lottery. We didn't just like somebody, hey, I want to give you. It was by faith. We said, okay, God, you're sending us to New York. Now we need to start possessing. My very first missions trip, I've already run over by 1 minute. Now, I want to apologize to whoever's mad at me. I hope nobody is. My very first missions trip, or maybe it was my second, God called me to Korea. And I remember having this inner battle of being young and broke. If you're young, most of you are broke, okay? It's okay. I just want to say we all were, and it's okay. Don't condemn yourself. Broke is this, just where you lack brings clarity and desperation. Just your altar will feed you. You'll get on your altar. God will feed you. And help you. So I was like, Lord, how do I take my family? I want to take my two children. I want to take a couple other people. You know, I wanted to go in faith. And about, you know, a couple weeks later, I had a dream. And in the dream, don't worry. Remember Jesus' words. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. All right, so that's the clanking there. There's somebody here. Sorry about that. That's our heating pipe. We'll get that fixed in this new renovation that we're about to do. So I was headed out, and I had this dream. I had the desire, prayer, going to Korea. Had a dream, and in the dream, I had my family with me. And I felt like God was saying, it's going to be okay. So I did something completely anti-Dave Ramsey and all the other anti-debt people. I put everybody's bills on my credit card. I had that much ludicrous, crazy faith. Reckless, crazy, insane faith. Now, I do not recommend this. This is not what I believe. But I believe, you know, some people have to get jump-started by God. So it's on the credit card. But I'm believing God. I'm trusting God. A few thousand dollars, whatever it was, $4,000 or $5,000, whatever. As I'm believing God, I'm young and I'm dumb, and that's okay. And I'm broke, but I'm believing. And I get to the San Francisco airport. And I'm sitting in the lounge there, and all of a sudden they come over the loudspeaker. We've oversold this flight. If anybody wants to come up to the counter, we will give you a $500 voucher or $400 cash, put you up at the Hilton Hotel, and we'll fly you out first thing in the morning. So I heard that, and I thought, could that be? And I began to do the math. Could that be? And then she came on a second time. I thought, why is no one getting up? And maybe this is... You know how that is when you think God might be providing one way, but then he says, I got something you don't know about here. So finally, I walked through the terminal waiting area, and it was all Asian, non-English speaking people. And I thought, well, no wonder. They just didn't get the message. So I walked up there, and I cashed in on all that, spent the night in the Hilton, all you can eat, all the stuff, took the kids swimming in their pool. Came back the next day, and the same thing happened the next day. Oh, I'm sorry. We've overbooked this flight. You can have $400. You can have $500 vouchers. And that time, I just ran up to the I ran. Those two, and then they flew me out later that day. Those two moments overpaid my credit card. Those two moments overpaid the bill that was remaining. Overpaid it. And so, more than enough. So, you begin to think about the spirit of faith. Spirit of faith means you begin moving towards what you're believing for. We needed to get into a new space. I mean, we need to have both services. Our east side is having problems over there. If the theater is going to be renovating, we have limitations here and things that we need to correct here. We have a punch list of things, but we have to go back to construction, et cetera. So there are all these things going on, and we needed a space. But it's not like Sunday morning there's good church places in Manhattan. I mean, you know, they're taken, right? Like, I want to go up to St. Patrick's. Hey, you guys doing anything Sunday morning? We like your whole cathedral, please. It doesn't work that way. But we start going out, knocking on doors. Jesus said this. This will help you with the spirit of faith. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Now, here's where the language barrier and knowing a little bit of Greek helps. The Greek language in which Jesus gave it, possibly in Aramaic or in Hebrew, but Jesus spoke it. They recorded it. It was recorded in Greek language. In the Greek language, there is a tense that is not included in English, and it means continual action. Mm-hmm. So what is that saying?
Keep on asking,
keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. That's how it works.
Amen.
There's a girl, Jenny, in this congregation who was believing God so much, a master's degree from, I think, Columbia, and she was believing God for a job in New York, and they said, we don't have one, so she had to leave the country. And we prayed with her right here, about four or five of us gathered around. And I said, I've never seen, this is real faith. This is faith. And she was believing, and she said, in a week I'm going to have to go and all that. And she just sent me a Christmas card. Sweet gal, sent a Christmas card. She said, God has opened a door. I'm moving back to Manhattan. I got the job, and God has opened the door for me. And she so believed God. We're going to hear so many stories like that this year. This is going to be a year of many stories just like that when it looks impossible. And that is the story of Abraham. That's the story. He believed God against all odds. Hope against hope, he believed. And Abram, I'm going to just close with this thought, but Abram was a sign of the greater Abraham to come. Look at John 8:58. Jesus said this. He said, when he was talking to the religious community who were saying, come on, Abraham's greater than you. And Jesus didn't hold back. A lot of times Jesus coaxed his identity, but this time he was like letting a little preview review of who he really is. And he says, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. Do you remember the words I am? When Moses encountered God, he said, who shall I say sent me? And God spoke back to him and said, I am. I am the all-sufficient one. I am who you need me to be. I am your healer. I am your Lord, your God. I am your provider. Look, when we eliminate thinking that people are our source and God is our source, the curse becomes a blessing.
Amen.
God begins to change everything. He wants us. And faith works by pushing against God, and greater things happen.
Yes.
And there are many people in this city who have faith, but they're not yet possessing.
Amen.
And it's our prayer that this church would not just be in the city, but possessing the land.
Amen.
In the city.
Amen.
And doing what we've been doing for the last several years, but doing it with you, in conjunction with you, our brothers and sisters, watching you prosper, watching you get own apartments. Own apartments, not just be a renter. How many renters in the land say yes? I want to do the Jeffersons thing so badly. Moving on up to a deluxe apartment on the east. I mean, come on now, or the west. It doesn't. Lord, I'm not even picky. You could put me in Midtown, wherever that deluxe. That's an old TV show in America. I'm sorry if you don't go back that old. And thank you, Michael. Michael knows the Jets, Jeffersons. I almost said the Jetsons. I love you guys. Let's pray right now. Father, as we've reviewed Abram today, we just thank you that you'll give us a spirit of faith and you'll give us the ability to go from glory to glory and grace to grace. And help us, Lord, not to be defined by our circumstances, but Lord, really have the grace to fully possess the land and to move forward by the grace of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that you were sent by the Father into this world to seek and save that which is lost. And we trust you, God. You're touching people even right now. Thank you for this moment, dear God, where we can exchange our lives for your life. If you're here this morning, every head bowed, every eye shut. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, pray for me. I really want to know God and be delivered from the snare that I've been in. And I want God's grace to bring me out. This is not to embarrass you, but just raise your hand. I just want to know, who are we talking to today? Just raise your hand and say, Father, I want this. I want to fully follow you in 2018. I want to be freed in 2018. In addition, if you are have really been struggling and felt like you've been set back over the holiday season. You've been set back this past year, and this is your year of breakthrough. You want to follow and possess. Raise your hand and just say, Lord, I want all that you have for me. Lord, I want it all. I'm asking, seeking, and knocking. This is going to be a defining moment for me today. In Jesus' name, to seek and seek you. Lord, you're seeking and saving me. You're knocking on my door. And I want you to come in fully. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for joining us at Every Nation New York City, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the city one life at a time.